I'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 20. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness, like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut me off from your kindness for my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan and David reaffirmed his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Am I on here?
Yes, sir.
All right, I've learned to check, because I've been notorious for messing that up. So, good morning. For those of you that I have not met before, my name is Brandon Treat, and I am the youth and family minister here at Northwest. And this week was a big week for our youth group. It kind of marked the end of our summer. Our two interns left this week. And so another name for our youth interns here at Northwest is not only just our summer interns, but they're also my paid friends. And so this week marked the end of my paid friends leaving me. It was kind of like our friendship had an expiration date. But so this morning, not because of that, but it works out that I am going to be sharing with you some thoughts on friendship. And this morning's a special morning to me as well, because my mother came this morning, and she said she's coming to both services because she wants to maximize seeing me preach. So if you have a chance to meet her, you should meet her. Her name's Krista. I like her. This morning we are going to talk about friendship, and I want to just kind of jump right into this idea. Because here's something that I think, and something that I believe, is that I believe that friendship is an essential part of God's perfect design of us. Because you think about the creation story, and what God does after he creates Adam. He sees Adam and he says it's not good for man to be alone. He sees Adam and he says it's not good for man to be alone, and so he creates a spouse, he creates a wife and Eve. So yes, it's in the context of a marriage that core principle has, but a big component of marriage and a big component of our design, I believe, by God, is that we were made for camaraderie. We were made to not be alone. We were made in such a way that God's perfect design for us involves friendship. And I believe that friendship also from God is a gift that he's given us. Friendship is a gift that God's given us, and what we've done with friendship is similar to what we've done with pretty much every gift God has given us, right? We've brought it into this broken world, into our brokenness, and we've kind of broken this perfect gift, and we've watered down this perfect gift that God gave us in friendship. And you know, to kind of show how we've watered down, I thought of in my life, like what friendship means now through technology is friendship is somebody who you text every once in a while. Friendship is someone who you might talk on the phone with once a month. Friendship is who's your friend on Facebook or who's your friend on social media, whatever. And I know that it's broken in my life because sometimes it's hard for me to even muster the energy to send a text message to my friend. The laziest thing you can do. And so it's like when God had this grand design for friendship in our lives, how little have we taken that down to? How much have we broken that concept? And so this morning, the message that I want to bring to you, the message that I want to talk to you about this morning is what are the qualities of a godly friend? God gave us this gift. How are we going to take full advantage of the gift in the way that God intended us? And so the challenge that I want to give you before we even start this morning is, this morning I'm going to list three qualities of a godly friend. Because Scripture certainly has a lot to say about friendship. All throughout Scripture, there's a lot of wisdom, especially in Proverbs, there's a lot of wisdom on friendship and ways to approach it. And so this morning, the challenge I want to give to you is not to look at this list as these are the kind of friends I want to make, which yes is a good relation, but I want you to look at this list as we talk about it as the kind of friend that I want to be. Are these qualities true of me and my friendships? And the reality is this list could be pages and the whole sermon series of qualities, but I've tried to break it down into three qualities. And so I'm going to jump into those, and also I need to pause and say why I had Don read Jonathan and David, because this is one of the most beautiful exchanges of friendships in Scripture. And to set the story, David is running for his life from Jonathan's father, from King Saul, trying to kill David. And what you see in this, in 1 Samuel 20, is that their friendship transcended all of that. Their friendship was bigger than all of that. And you see this beautiful exchange from Jonathan to David that's warning him about his father, giving an oath to him of love and saying, I'll do anything for you. And really, in Scripture, I think this is one of the best pictures that we have of what God intended this gift of friendship to look like. And so I'm going to be referencing back to the beauty of that throughout today's message. And so the first quality I want to jump into this morning is, and it's actually our third quality because we're going to go backwards. But it's pulled from this Proverbs, and there's multiple other places I could have pulled this from. But a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. One of the first, the quality I want to share with you first this morning of a godly friend is a friend is present. A friend is there for you in your peaks and in your valleys. I believe this is scriptural, and I believe that this is what God's gift for us of friendship was supposed to be. You think about it, the moments in your life where you're at your lowest point, the moments in my life where I've been at my lowest points, the people that were there for me, the people that stopped what they were doing and were there and supported me, those are the friends those were my best friends. That was the sign of a best friend. A friend is someone who's present. And I just talked about how social media and technology has kind of watered down this concept in a lot of ways. And the reality is that it also could enhance it in a lot of ways, because even at distances, you can still be this. But what I believe a friend ought to be is someone who is there for you. And sometimes that just means listening. Sometimes that just means putting an arm around you. Sometimes that means just hearing what you have to say, what's on your heart. And I want to say this because I think it's important. A lot of times we take this idea and we think a friend is a fixer. A friend, if I'm your friend, I'm going to fix what's wrong. Who did you wrong? I'm going to go get them for you. What happened? I'm going to fix it. I'm going to give you the perfect advice and I'm going to fix it. That's what a friend does. What I believe Scripture is saying and what I believe is true is that a friend is not necessarily a fixer. Yes, there's sometimes they can influence a situation, but a friend is someone who's there for you in those times in your life. So the question for you, again, we're taking this from your perspective as a friend, are you a friend that is present in the life of your friends? Are you there for them in their times of need? And again, pointing back to Jonathan and David, we see that this is gotta be a low point for David, right? He's running for his life. His whole life is just on the run now. He's got to be questioning what God's call for him still is. And even though Jonathan really is risking death, Jonathan is risking being outcasted from his father, it was so important to Jonathan to be present for David, to be there for David. And so our first quality, or our third quality this morning, is that a friend is present. The second quality could be pulled from multiple places, but the passage that I wanted to highlight was, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I believe a friend is someone who brings out the best in you. A friend is like iron that sharpens iron. And you know what for me makes it defining? Is a friend can tell you when you made a mistake. The best friends that I have, you think about how people's reactions are whenever you make a mistake. A lot of times people that aren't close to you are going to walk away from you in that situation. A lot of times they'll talk to people, but not to you about it. A friend is someone who says, hey man, you're better than that. Hey man, why'd you do that? Because here's the reality, and a lot of times I work with teenagers, and I know a lot of times we think of this idea of peer pressure as something that's exclusive to teenagers. But that's not the case, is it? That's not the case. We think, and it is important to talk about that and to teach that to teenagers because they are experiencing it. But isn't it true that if you have a friend that gossips a whole lot, even at your age right now, that when you're around that person, you probably gossip quite a bit too? It's human nature that we end up being influenced by who we're surrounded by. And that's true of all ages, not just teenagers. And so with that thought in mind, with the fact that I am going to be influenced by the people I surround myself with, and the people that I surround myself with are going to be influenced by me, what we ought to look for in godly friends is people that are bringing out the best in us. We ought to look, we ought to be, and furthermore, we ought to take ownership to say, I'm going to try to bring out the best in my friends. And am I doing that? How am I not doing that? And so, to me, this is so important, but we're building up to what I believe is the most important and what feeds these other ones, is this last quality. And well, also, I should pause and say, we see that Jonathan is bringing the best out in David in this story, right? David might be scared. David's got to be questioning what God's plan is, but Jonathan says to him, no, like, God's plan is bigger. May God bless your family from here on out. And he makes a covenant to him. And so we see this in that exchange between Jonathan and David as well. But now getting into the most important quality, I believe. And I need help, so I'm going to use the help of Toy Story. Because what happens in, and I'm talking about the original Toy Story. The Toy Story that came out 24 years ago, which is insane. But the Toy Story that came out 24 years ago, and if you haven't seen it, I'm going to spoil it, but you had 20 years to see it. So that's on you. So in this story, you see Buzz and Woody, and now we kind of know in children's cinema that this is like one of the most iconic friendships in children's cinema, right? Buzz and Woody. You see them plastered on everything. But in this movie, that was not the case. And I'm just setting up because I'm going to show a clip. I know a lot of you have seen it, but I think it's important we set up the clip. Buzz and Woody in this movie were not friends. In fact, they were enemies. Because what happened was Woody was Andy's favorite. But then Buzz came around and Buzz all of a sudden is his favorite and he's taking all the attention away from Woody. And so there's this tension that exists between Woody feeling like he's stealing all the attention from him. But what makes it even worse is that Buzz doesn't even realize he's a toy. Buzz thinks he's a space ranger. And so not only is Woody annoyed by the fact that Buzz is taking attention, but Buzz, in his mind, is an idiot. Buzz thinks he's a space ranger. He thinks he can fly. He thinks he has a laser beam. And Woody's just like, the tension just builds and builds. And Woody ends up trying to get Buzz out of the picture. And it backfires in a big way. So now I'll speed up to where we're going to be at. They end up next door from Andy's house in Andy's neighbor's house, Sid. And Sid is notorious for how terrible he treats his toys. They end up in this house next door, right? And what happens to Buzz is Buzz sees a commercial. It's at this house that Buzz sees the commercial where he realizes, I'm just a toy. He realizes, I'm just a toy. So he's at the lowest point of his life. And then to make matters even worse, Sid straps a rocket to his back. And Sid is soon to use him as a firework the next day. And so what we're going to see here in the clip, and hopefully it shows, is we're going to see this is Woody talking to Buzz at his lowest point of his whole life thus far. And this is where I believe we see the beginning of the friendship of Buzz and Woody. So we're going to watch this clip, if it'll show.
Psst. Psst. Hey, Buzz! Hey, get over here and see if you can get this toolbox off me. Oh, come on, Buzz. Buzz, I can't do this without you. I need your help.
I can't help. I can't help anyone.
Well, sure you can, Buzz. You can get me out of here, and then I'll get that rocket off you, and we'll make a break for Andy's house.
Andy's house, Sid's house. What's the difference?
Oh, Buzz, you've had a big fall. You must not be thinking clearly.
No, Woody. For the first time, I am thinking clearly. You were right all along. I'm not a space ranger. I'm just a toy, a stupid, little, insignificant toy.
Whoa, hey, wait a minute. Being a toy is a lot better than being a space ranger.
Yeah, right.
No, it is. Look, over in that house is a kid who thinks you are the greatest, and it's not because you're a space ranger, pal. It's because you're a toy. You are his toy.
But why would Andy want me?
Why would Andy want you? Look at you. You're a Buzz Lightyear. Any other toy would give up his moving parts just to be you. You've got wings. You glow in the dark. You talk. Your helmet does that whoosh thing. You are a cool toy. As a matter of fact, you're too cool. I mean, what chance does a toy like me have against a Buzz Lightyear action figure? All I can do is... Why would Andy ever want to play with me when he's got you? I'm the one that should be strapped to that rocket.
So, I want to break down what we just saw there, because I think it's beautiful. Because Buzz is at his lowest point in his whole life. He's lost his purpose. He doesn't know who or what he is anymore. And what Woody says to him is beautiful. Because he's in this depression of saying, I'm just a toy. I have no purpose. What's my purpose? What's the point of living anymore? And Woody looks at him and says, "You're not just some toy. Being a toy isn't a flaw in your design. It's the perfect thing for you. You are a toy. You are a cool toy. You have an amazing purpose that's bigger than what you see." So Woody, in this moment, and this is part of what makes it beautiful, is Woody says, "This is who you are." Woody tells Buzz who he is in this lowest moment. But he tells him something else that's so much more important. He says, there's a kid next door who you mean the world to. There's a kid next door who loves you. He reminds Buzz whose he is. And that is what a friend ought to do in their life. A friend reminds you who and whose you are. It's been written on Buzz's foot the whole movie. And it's been written on our hearts our whole lives. And what God's perfect depiction of friendship, I believe, is a friend whenever you're at your lowest point or whenever you've messed up or daily. A friend is a person who reminds you who and whose you are. And again, we see this in the story with Jonathan and David. We see there's multiple passages of it, but this is the one I picked. In verse 42, Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have a sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying the Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever." What we see is that God is in the center of this friendship. And it's because of that fact that this friendship is the most iconic one in Scripture, pretty much. It's because the fact that God was in the center of this friendship that it transcended past the whole world going against them. Jonathan's own father going against them. What Jonathan does in this story is he reminds David who and whose he is. And so I told you the point of this list is not to evaluate others, but it's to evaluate yourself. Are you a friend that is consistently reminding your friends who and whose they are? And this morning, I want to not just leave it broad, not just leave it vague of this idea of who and whose I think you are, but I want to highlight a passage for you. I want to be your friend and remind you who and whose you are this morning. And that passage that I want to highlight is Isaiah 43:1 that says this, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." That is who and whose you are this morning and every morning, even when we lose sight of it. And so for some of you, that's what you needed to hear this morning for yourself. But today the goal is not just to speak that truth to you. The goal is for you to speak that truth in your life to the people that you're surrounded with daily, weekly. Because, and here's my final thought of this morning, and then I'm done. But friendship, God's perfect gift of friendship, ought to be not a barrier between you and your relationship with God, but it ought to be a building block that builds you up in your relationship with God bigger than ever before. That is what I believe God's perfect gift of friendship is. And this is what my encouragement to you is this morning as you are considering how you are going to be a friend to the people in your life. And so this morning, if you need any prayers for anything going on, any of your friends, or if you need a reminder of who or whose you are this morning, my encouragement to you would be to go to the back and pray with our shepherds and their wives as we stand and sing.